Things with you. Again, we're going back to the book of Jude. I haven't finished it yet. I'm not sure if I'll finish tonight. Possible. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we do have together. We thank you for your presence here with us, Father God, and we acknowledge that. Hallelujah. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. And I thank you, Father, that he's in our midst here this evening. And we are honored by his presence, by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, as I minister your word, I pray that those that hear the word of God will have open ears to receive the word of God and open ears to hear, open ears to hear the word of God and an open heart to receive the word of God. Because we know that your word, Lord, is a life changer. It changes our lives from worse to better, from worse to good. Hallelujah. From broken to wholeness. From being incomplete to completeness. Father, you have everything we need. And we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I was not only listening to the songs this evening, but also participating. And the second song that the group did was He's Able. He's Able. He's able to do anything we need him to do that lines up with his word. He's able to do it, and he's willing to do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the last song was, He's the God of a Second Chance. You know, if you've messed up, you can go to God, or if you've strayed away, you can return to him. Because he is a God of a second chance. And really, it's not limited to a second chance. Hallelujah. Jesus was asked a question, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And Jesus' response was, no, 70 times, seven. In other words, the point he was making is we should have a heart of forgiveness. Amen. Not counting the times, but having a heart to forgive. Amen. If you want to be a productive Christian, go ahead and get rid of every low bondage, whatever it is that you are carrying right now. If you're holding something against someone, just go ahead and release them and go on with Jesus Christ. Amen. Just release them. I like what it says, and I want to read this. And of course, like I said, we're in the book of Jude. But before I go to Jude, I want to read you something here, if I can find it. Sometimes things come to me that I want to share with you. So, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. In James chapter 4. I'll just read verse 7 and verse 8. And I'm reading from the New King James Bible. But it says, listen to it real. Don't just let these words just roll by you. Hear what the Word of God is saying here. Therefore, submit to God. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And we realize that he come out after us in different ways, doesn't he? But the word of God is plain. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Listen to what it says in verse 8. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. If we're going to live a victorious life, a life of real peace, a life of power, we can't straddle the fence. We can't have one foot on the devil's property and the other foot on God's property, so to speak. Draw near to God, this is verse 8, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you what? Who? Double-minded. We should have one mind, and that mind is on God's side of the fence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's turn to the book of Jude. I could read some more there in James, but I won't read that. And I won't go back through everything in the book of Jude, but God has been speaking to us through the writings of Jude. He wrote as he was moved by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, Jude is the Word of God. And he's letting us know about things that will be happening in the last days, especially in the last days. And we right now are in the last of the last days. Amen. Yeah. We right now are in the last of the last days. So we need to take our walk with Christ serious. We need to be serious about our relationship with God. This is not a plaything. It's a serious thing. Thank you for a few amens I got. Glory to God. It is very, very serious. And so he used some examples in the Bible, talked about things that would be going on, and we see those things today. My goodness. Happening in our world. But we are called to be the light of the world. Amen. We are called to shine. Amen? Well, I said I wasn't going to read it, but I think I am. I just sensed like I need to. We're only talking about one chapter, right? Let's read, and then I'm going to read right on into where we're going this evening. Verse 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Now, let me stop right there a minute. Who is this written to? I'm asking you a question now. Who is this written to? Let me read it to you again. To those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's written to the believer. It's written to the believer. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. See, the devil is after our faith. For certain men have crept in unnoticed. Now, this says certain men, but it's not just the male gender. It's male and female. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness. Folks are doing any and everything. And here's listen. Are you ready? It's creeping over into the creeping. It's already crept, if that's a word, into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we got to make sure we don't fall asleep. Verse 4 again, I'm reading on. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them. By the way, woe is not a good word if you're in the wrong place. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, "Behold, the Lord come with 10,000s of his saints." Hallelujah. I'm going to be in the number of the saints. Amen. To execute judgment on all who convict, all who are ungodly among them, of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. All you got to do is look around, folks. You see it happening. But you, beloved, say he's talking to us. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. They are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Amen. Now, having read all that, this is where I'm going. But you, everybody say, but me. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. What should I be doing? What should we as believers, what should we be doing right now as we see all the chaos going around and deceivers and liars and perverters and perversion, all that stuff? What are we told to do? No, well, I hadn't got that for yet. We are told to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. That's what the enemy wants, your faith. Time and time again in Scripture, we see it in Scripture. two words, fear not, fear not, fear not. Of course, now if you don't have any answers, you're going to be afraid. If you don't know the solution to the problem, you're going to be afraid. But when you know what the Word of God says, you have something to stand on. Amen. And we are told in the wicked times that the book of Jude talks about, what you and I ought to be doing is building our, one of the things that we ought to be doing is building ourselves up in our most holy faith. You know, we may see things and discuss things that we see going on around us, but one thing you got to make sure you never do: don't let it get on the inside of you. The only thing that should be on the inside of you is the Word of God.
Amen.
We're to get God's Word in our heart. It tells us in the book of Proverbs to guard your heart. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. When you have the Word of God on the inside of you, it will keep you even in the midst of turmoil. It will keep you. But you have to put something in if you're going to get anything out. Amen. Sometimes you just have to put down the TV remote and grab the Word of God. Unless you're watching somebody that you know is really preaching the Word of God. You know, I don't watch every minister on TV. I don't watch every minister on YouTube. Because what I open myself up to gets on the inside of me. You listening to me? What you open yourself up to gets on the inside of you. And all I want on the inside of me is the pure Word of God. That's going to build me up, keep me strong. Amen. Listen, turn, keep your place there at Jude. I'm coming back. But turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians. Now listen, I'll begin at verse 1, and this is to the Colossian church, but it's also to us too. For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. This is the Apostle Paul. Did I not tell you the chapter? I do apologize for that. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Amen. All right, let me read it again. Colossians 2, verse 1. For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and obtaining to all riches of the fullness, of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, listen to how he said this. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. You see that? You ever notice how, and again, these men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, but you see how protective they were over the church and over the things of God, like Jude, Paul, Peter, all of them. That's the love of God, isn't it? God doesn't want us out in left field somewhere. God loves us. Look at verse 5. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore, now listen closely. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, what are you to do? We're to do what? Walk in him. How? Verse 7. Rooted and built up in him. Notice that word rooted. Why do trees have roots? Say again. Nourishment. But not only nourishment. Yeah, I mean that certainly nourishment. And we receive nourishment from Christ and from his word, right? There you go. Stability. Stability. You're stable. When the wind blows, you're able to stand. Our roots need to run deep in Christ and in his word. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, and listen to this. And this is what Jude was talking about, right? Rooted and built up in him, and what? Established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Established, established, established in the faith, established in the truth, rooted. Roots running deep. Beware. You see that? I'm not making this stuff up, folks. Beware lest anyone cheat you through what? Impress you with their intelligence. With all their certificates going around the wall. And I'm not against learning. Okay? I'm not against having certificates and, you know. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know, if you've been taught by the right person or persons. But anybody can have a certificate. So let me read on. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to who? Christ. Listen to this. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Amen. I said amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All righty. About to lose my microphone wire here. So let's go back to Jude. So Jude again, verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Now, what else? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Or we can say it this way. Praying in other tongues, or praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. And I know that praying in tongues or speaking in tongues is controversial in some areas, in some camps. But I still believe, according to the scriptures, it's still active today. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I won't read all of this, but I just want to point out a couple of things. Listen at what the Apostle Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And he was talking to a congregation here. But this also applies to our private lives as well. Listen to what he said. He says, I will pray in a tongue, for if I pray in a tongue, my what? Spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, he's saying, I'm praying in an unknown tongue that I have not learned. I'm praying in a language that my mind, my natural mind, cannot grab a hold of. He says, I pray in the Spirit, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, I'll deal with that in just a moment. And he goes on to say, what is the conclusion? Then I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Hallelujah. How many of you sing in the Spirit sometimes? I'm talking about, when I say in the Spirit, I'm talking about other tongues. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Me too. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to understand, in the assembly, when we come together in church, there should be order. God does things decent and in order, right? Amen. So there's order in the congregation because there shouldn't be any confusion. But in our private lives, we can pray in the Spirit or pray in other tongues. And we should pray in other tongues. Right? We should pray in other tongues. And just like we can pray with the understanding. And the Bible way of being able to pray in other tongues, in pray in the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, is through the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you still here? Amen. Glory to God. And I can go into more detail later on. I won't tonight. But what he's telling us, the Word of God is telling us, to build our most holy faith. And part of that is praying in the Spirit or praying in other tongues. Some may wonder, well, what is this tongue thing anyway? We have to understand something. The Bible declares that we are created in the image and in the likeness of God. Amen? We're created in the image and in the likeness of God. We're spirit, we're soul, and we have a body. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. The very reason that you and I were created in the first place is so that we could have fellowship with God. You still with me? Your very purpose for being here is to have fellowship with God. That's the reason Adam was created, was to have fellowship with God. God wanted to fellowship with Adam. He created him in his likeness. God breathed into him the breath of life. And Adam was without sin. And so God wanted to fellowship with his creation that's like him. And so God gave him, mankind, now I'm talking about, an eternal spirit. An eternal spirit. See, that's when man fell, those that refuse to repent and get right with God, since they are eternal spirits, they had to go somewhere and they couldn't go back with God. So they had to go to hell. Until the day of judgment, when they would stand before God again. And after that, they will be thrown into the lake of fire to be tormented forever and forever and forever. And that's according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. And I believe God's word. But we are created, we're eternal beings because we're spiritual beings. We're created in the image and in the likeness of God. So when man fell, he was still a spirit. He was spiritually dead, separated from God, but he was still a spirit. But here's the beautiful thing about it. Those of us that have received Jesus Christ enter our hearts as our Lord and Savior. In other words, we are born again. Like Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again because the first Adam messed everything up. But there's, the Bible doesn't record that he told Nicodemus this, but we do see it in Scripture that Jesus Christ is the second Adam. So he gave us back what the first Adam lost. So we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us, those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, those that receive him as their Lord and Savior. And let me say this to you also, because we are spiritual beings created in the image and likeness of God, God gave us something, listen to me, God gave us something that is very, 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 very powerful. You know what that is? Some of you know it. The will to choose. The will to accept him or the will to reject him. We've been given the liberty to choose our eternity. Because we're spiritual beings. Now, when we're born again, the Holy Spirit come on the inside of us. He comes to live on the inside of us. Jesus breathed on his disciples and told them to receive the Holy Ghost. And then when he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, they were born again. But then he told them to tarry in Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost come. Now he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's the reason when he came, they began to speak in other tongues, languages that they had not learned. What happened? Why is the baptism with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues so important? Because we are spiritual beings created in the image and likeness of God, that gives us an opportunity to commune with God, spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. Because it goes beyond our head and our thinking. Now, in some cases, God will reveal to us that, for example, there's the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of tongues, and there's also the gifts of interpretation of tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about them. But that's when the gifts of the Holy Spirit is in operation. But there is a time when we can just get before God and just commune and fellowship with him spirit to spirit, speaking in other tongues. It may be revealed to us what we are saying, or it may not. Just like the Apostle Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding. He said, when I pray with the Spirit, my understanding is unfruitful. But then he said, I'll also pray with the understanding. Then he said, I'll sing within the Spirit, and then I'll sing with the understanding. But we have such closeness with God. When he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, And that's a separate gift from salvation. When he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, and the Bible evidence of that is other tongues. The Bible evidence of that is other tongues. But we get the opportunity to sit or stand in the presence of God and commune spirit to spirit. And many times God will speak to your heart or reveal things to you while you are in prayer with him. Sometimes, if you're a minister, sometimes it relates to ministry. But you don't have to be a minister to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Are y'all with me? And the times that we are living in now, yes, we need to pray in our native language, but we also need to pray in other tongues as well. I want to tell you something. Thank God for the English language, because that's what I speak. Don't always do very well with it, but that's the language I speak. But it's very, very limited. Sometimes we are faced with things that we just don't know what to do. We don't know how to handle it. Are you listening to me? Maybe there's a situation you're thinking, dear Lord, I want to pray about this, but I just don't know how. I just don't know how to approach it. That's the time to pray in other tongues, or pray in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God knows all things. When we are communing with God, spirit to spirit, he knows all things. Amen. And I understand not everybody accepts that. But I see it in the Word of God. I see it in the Word of God. So we are to build our faith, and we are to pray in the Spirit, in other tongues. Are you still here? There have been times when I've prayed in the Spirit before God. I didn't know what to say. You know, sometimes maybe things can feel a little overwhelming to you. Anybody ever been there? You know? And then you just begin to pray in other tongues. And after a while, the light comes on. The light comes on. And you think, yes, thank you, Lord. This is what I need to do about this situation. Folks, we're created in the image and in the likeness of God. And he has given us everything we need. We just have to learn how to use it. Just like going, and I got to quit here, but it's like going into the military and you know, they have everything you need, but you got to learn how to use it. You got to learn how to use it properly, because if you abuse it, you can hurt yourself or somebody else. Amen. Soldier. Navy man. Amen. There's another Navy man over here. I better say Navy man. Don't want him to get jealous. We love him. Hallelujah. But y'all follow what I'm saying. God's given us everything we need. And I'm going to close with this. I remember when I was in the service, the Air Force, and we had the opportunity to fellowship with many, many different believers. And I love and appreciated all of them. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed in being born again. Amen. But some were Baptist, some were Pentecostal, some were Methodist, Presbyterian, different denominations. And of course, when it came to the Holy Spirit, sometime there was some differences there. And as a young Christian, I'm thinking, Lord, I want all of you. Lord, I'm just so glad to be saved. I want all of you. So I'm hearing different things. So when I got out of service, shortly after I got out of service, I really believe this was the Lord guiding me, but I said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read the book of Acts, beginning at the first chapter all the way through the book of Acts. Now this is what I said. I said, I'm going to read the book of Acts. Jim, I think I was already at Canner's at that time. The job you and I used to work at together. I said, I'm going to read the book of Acts. And I know when I finish the book of Acts, I will know what to do. I will know which way to go. And when I finished the book of Acts, I said, Lord, I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I needed some help. As a young Christian, you need some folks to guide you along. My wife is smiling. I won't go into that tonight, but she had more faith than I did. I will admit that. So, amen. And I had some growing to do. But the Lord honored my prayer. And my life haven't been the same since. And over the past, a lot of years, I've seen God do some great things. Not just for us, but for other people, because of prayer, the laying on of hands, healings, folks set free. And I give God the glory for all of that. But I had the opportunity that I could commune with my Father in my native tongue and spirit to spirit. Amen. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
And I encourage you to do the same thing. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word that will never, ever, ever return to you void. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. I thank you for that. Thank you, Father, that we are created in your image and created in your likeness.